The text for our address this morning comes from the Gospel I read before, and I'll read again verses 36 to 40 of Luke chapter 24. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. This is the text. Those of us who are grandparents know the joy of having our children and grandchildren come and visit us either for a day or several days, which may have happened to you over Easter. We're always sad to say goodbye to them, but when they are gone, we sit and listen to the silence and say, "Peace at last." One time during my training for the ministry, I was reminded what peace isn't. I was sitting by the Parramatta River in the park opposite the former church office, Concord House at Rhodes in New South Wales. I was eating my lunch and throwing the crust to the seagulls. The squawking and fighting that went on as they selfishly try to claim every bit of bread for themselves is the very opposite of peace. Peace is a word that has many meanings in our lives. It can mean the lack of conflict or fighting between individuals or groups or nations. It can mean quiet solitude when we wonder at God's creation. We even speak of the peace of death, particularly for someone who has faced a long and difficult illness leading up to that final passing from life in this world. Or it can mean the peace that only God can bring. In today's text, we read Luke's account of the first appearance of Jesus to his disciples after the resurrection. Jesus just suddenly appeared in their midst as they were locked in a room, frightened and bewildered about the events of recent days. Jesus didn't come knocking at the door. Although he had said earlier in Luke's gospel that he would be raised from the dead, and there had been a report by the women of the empty tomb and the report by the two disciples who had seen Jesus on the road to Emmaus and a report that Peter had seen Jesus, they were not prepared to have Jesus just appear in their midst as they were talking to one another. Jesus hadn't given them any warning that he would show up right then in that place. So when Jesus did appear on that first Easter Sunday evening, he said, "Peace be with you." But the disciples' initial reaction is anything but positive. We are told in verse 37, they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. They would not believe the women, Peter, or the two men from Emmaus. Now they appeared too frightened even to believe their Saviour, because they were experiencing something that they could not understand. How could Jesus be alive when they knew that he had died? But Jesus understood their problem and said, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" They were experiencing every kind of emotion, and peace was certainly not one of them. But Jesus calmed them and opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Peace is a sense of general well-being, an absence of conflict, the basis of a full and confident life. Jesus wanted his disciples and us to enjoy true peace. The peace which Jesus speaks of here is not the external peace that the world offers, which is dependent upon man and the relationships between men. That can so easily be disturbed by the unfaithful actions of man. And we read in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Rather, it's an internal peace based upon Jesus and his work of redemption. As we read in Romans, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It is a peace with God based on a relationship of faith in which our sins are forgiven and we have the assurance of our eternal salvation. It is a peace which exists and thrives as the Spirit lives in our hearts, even when we face great troubles in this world. Jesus told his disciples at the Last Supper, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, he appears after his resurrection, and the very first thing he says that he wants them to enjoy peace. What would our reaction be now if God himself stood among us, right here and now? There are two possible reactions. One, you could be afraid. That's a natural reaction. After all, God is our judge. He knows all our sins, and we really should be condemned for all of them. Or, secondly, you could be happy to see God. You could be excited to be finally with your Maker and Saviour. But God really does live here with us. Jesus himself stands among us right now in his word, and he stands among us to give peace to your minds. Unfortunately, we often take his presence for granted. He's always here, so it's not such a big deal. Perhaps that's why we don't always feel that peace. In his word, Jesus shows you that the one standing among you is your God and Saviour. You have the eyewitness, factual testimony that Jesus died on the cross. You have the disciples' faithful testimony that 3 days later Jesus rose from the dead. Still today, the tomb stands empty. If you accept that testimony as true and in your heart believe the promises attached to it, you can't help but find peace. God says, "Because Jesus died, your sins are forgiven." Just excuse me. God says that because Jesus lives, you too will rise from the dead and live. That's peace, and Jesus is standing right here to give it to you. I know we have all kinds of things to stir up our hearts and minds. Maybe we have lost a loved one to death like the disciples. Maybe we have any number of other problems, from loneliness to depression to bad jobs to family crises, health problems. But all those things end with death. Death is our real problem, physical death and eternal death. Jesus solved both. He removed the possibility of eternal death when he died for our sins. And he transformed physical death into eternal life when he rose from the dead. Peace for all of those other problems flows from having peace with God. It does not mean that the other problems and pressures of life won't bother us. However, as we deal with all of those other things, we have an underlying peace that no one and no problem can ever take away. With this eternal, lasting peace that Jesus gives as he stands among you, your life will take on a different direction. Your life will take on a different purpose. Jesus appeared to give peace and purpose to his people. Jesus stands among you to give purpose to your lives. We come here on Sunday because this is the place where we hear that we belong to God. Christ Church is the only place in the world where belonging has nothing to do with us having to do or be or produce anything. We belong to God because he did everything to make us his. That means every threat in our lives plays second fiddle to God owning us. He loves us. He loves us now and always. And because of Jesus' resurrection, even our deaths cannot finally threaten us. That's why he is the only true source of peace. But we have a hard time hearing that promise and believing it. It's like food that fills for the moment, but in a few hours we need more. We hear what Jesus Christ has done to make home for us with him, the place where we belong forever. But in a few days, we need to hear it again. It drifts away and we grow hungry again for peace. So we come to this place and we pray and sing for peace in the world, in the church, in our lives. We taste the body and blood of the Prince of Peace. And we go back into the world with, go in peace, serve the Lord, thanks be to God. You don't see the Lord Jesus in front of you like the disciples did. And yet at the same time, you do. For wherever his word is preached and his sacraments are given out, there is Jesus. Jesus is not in the tomb. He rose from the dead. He's here right now, right here in our midst. And he gives you life and hope. And above all, he gives you peace. Peace be with you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.